And today and tomorrow, we are talking to independent filmmakers from the Silver Docs Documentary Film Festival in Silver Spring, Maryland. Right now, a documentary about Iranian women's football, or soccer, as we call it here in the United States. It took a year of arguing with bureaucrats and a lot of frustration, but finally it happened in 2006. In Tehran, an informal Iranian women's soccer team played against a women's team from Berlin. It was the first time both met and the first match ever for the Iranian women. The players on both teams had to wear headscarves during the game. And even though attending an event at the stadium is considered entering a den of vice, hundreds of Iranian women turned out to cheer the teams on under the ever-watchful eye of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. Iranian filmmaker Ayat Najavi, along with Marlena Osman, a German left fielder, set up the match and tell the story in the documentary Football Undercover. Women's soccer can play a powerful role all over the world. So if you have a story to tell about how sports empowered you, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255, and the email address is talk@npr.org. And, of course, you're always welcome to comment on our blog. That's npr.org/blogofthenation. And Ayat Najavi, co-director of Football Undercover, is with me now in Studio 3A. So good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Tell us how this came about in the first place. This was really just kind of an idea you had, right?
Yeah. Actually, 4 years ago, I have made a short film with the same subject. And this short film has been shown in Berlin Film Festival in February 2005. And Marlena Osman also presented another short film, also with the same subject, but in Berlin.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And what got you so interested in this idea of Iranian women's soccer? Why were you so interested in it?
Yeah, actually, in the first hand, when I heard about the female soccer in Iran, it was interesting because it is something which exists in Iran, but we never heard about it. So it was no chance for me as an Iranian who I was active in the society and art and culture. I never heard about it. So I got it interesting because I said, okay, there is something in it that the government want to hide it, want to, you know, make it as secret as possible. And it took me like 6 months to find footballers, soccer players. And when I talk to them, I start to understand that soccer for them has another meaning. Of course, it's a passion, it's enthusiasm, like everywhere in the world. But for them, as a girls in this strict Islamic society with all these limitations, it makes a role for them to fight against this limitation, or at least to show that they think different, they want to present differently. You know, they don't want to be in the form that the system want them to be.
Right, right. And how did you come up with the idea of getting this Berlin soccer team to go to Iran and play in this match against the Iranian women?
Yeah, so I go back to the beginning of my stuff. Everything started when Marlena and I met each other in Berlin Film Festival.
Marlena is the woman who helped you. She's a member of the soccer team.
And she's also a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So she has presented a short film about her team, which was recently established in Berlin. And it's a multicultural team with the Turkish people, with Arab people, with Eastern European people, like people from Greece. And it has a very, very great multicultural background. So Marlena and I talk a lot about these two short films, and both of us choose the same subject, female soccer and the city, you know.
So interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And but in these two short films, we had two very different worlds. Words of football, words of women, words of film, actually. So the aesthetics of the films were also absolutely different. And we said, okay, these two short films can meet each other in a longer film and try to establish a dialogue between these two different worlds. You know, both worlds of football, worlds of film, you know. That's all, how everything is starting.
And I think Marlena is standing by now. Is that correct? Have we got Marlena on the phone? Yes. Marlena, are you there? Hi. She's joining us on the line from Berlin. So good to have you with us, Marlena. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. I just I wanted to ask you, first of all, I didn't, you know, I really, in watching the film, I thought of you more as a soccer player, I have to say, than a filmmaker, because you were so involved with the team. And I wanted to ask you, what it was like to play this game, because apart from anything else, all of the women were wearing headscarves. This was really had to be difficult, particularly for the women on the Berlin team to come into Iran and have to play under those circumstances.
Yes, we had a bit of time to get used to the headscarf because we had to wear it not only in the stadium but all of the time. And also for the Iranians, it was not so usual to play with the headscarf because they normally play inside futsal and they are dressed just the same way we are dressed, with short pants and without a scarf. But now in this match, we wanted to film to make it public, and that's why they and we both had to wear the headscarf.
Yeah.
And of course, it was a big topic. Like, we weren't able to practice like this before because we didn't even know what it was going to be like, and we didn't have any of those scarves in Germany.
Yeah.
And we just had one opportunity to wear it before the match, and then it was just starting, and. Since we were so excited it was happening, we didn't really notice it that much.
Yeah, it seemed like there was an incredible energy in that stadium. An incredible amount of excitement. It was all women. In fact, Ayat was not able to get into the stadium. We'll get to that in a moment. But there just seemed to be so much excitement around this game. Did you sense that excitement coming at you from the fans?
Yes, it was really incredible. When we were leaving the dressing room and came outside just to warm up first, everybody was screaming and we could just hear them. And it was so nice because we were always hoping for the match to take place and also for people to come. And we were so curious to see what's going to be among the people who are coming. And then they were so noisy and so many, and like they painted their faces and they... had big flags, and it was really nice to see them, and it was a big atmosphere.
I was wondering how they all found out about it, because you mentioned in the film that once you got there, you actually weren't allowed to put up your posters and advertise it very much.
Yes, we were also wondering. We didn't know. It was like somebody knew, and he told his friends, or she told her friends, and so on. But we really didn't know why so many people found out about it in the end.
Did you have any idea it was going to have that kind of effect for women outside of the soccer team, for other women in Iran?
It was going to have, like, for the people who came?
People who came, that it would have so much meaning for those women who came as fans, not just for the players.
Yes, we were hoping for it. Football has a very... big meaning in Iran, and also for women. And whenever many people come together, they are harder to control. And also, like, normally women may not go in the stadium when men are playing, so in our case it was just the other way around.
Yeah.
And it was not only the first opportunity for the players to play, but also for the fans to cheer in the stadium. And so we thought that it was going to be really interesting what's happening, and also we had more cameras in the audience than on the football team.
Right.
Because we really wanted to see what's going to be there, but then it was just so great to really see it happening.
And Ayat, after having this great idea of doing this, you weren't able to get into the stadium to see the game. The film shows you standing outside trying to peek in and see what's going on because you're a man. You couldn't go into the stadium with all these women.
Yeah, we did know from the beginning that it would be no chance for men to go, but we always thought that, okay, it would be, you know, expectation, but didn't work out, so we had to stay outside. But in that moment, for me, it has two aspects, actually. First, as a filmmaker, together with David, we couldn't go inside, and it was really hard to control what's going on, you know, the photographers and all the stuff. But also as an Iranian, it was a great chance to experience in a great social level that something always happened for women in Iran. They always ignored, you know, it's always hard for them to be part. And it was for the first time that they had the control of everything, and we as men were ignored. So I could, you know, I could imagine such a hard life they have, usually. And I mean, it was always in theory, but it was for, you know, actually I experienced it.
Great. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Betty. She's calling from Chicago. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm a 62-year-old recreational runner, but I'm a walker, but I'm very committed to it. And I'm wondering if, as what happened to me, having started running or walking after the age of 35, if the Iranian women had a feeling of social independence or freedom, that they could do more because they were able to participate in a sport that stereotypically is reserved for men.
Actually, there is a sport for women in Iran, but as we present in football on the cover, it's always separate. For example, we have a national running team. We have like taekwondo or karate or, you know, other sports. Uh-huh. So it's possible for women to go running, even in the public, but they have to put on like, you know, a scarf and long dresses.
Right.
Like, yeah, so the problem is only the presentation of women, you know. Mm-hmm. They have no liberty to choose their presentation. And the presentation was... the system decide them to present in this Islamic kind of way.
So in other words, they can participate in sport, but they weren't able to participate in a game that other people would be watching them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you feel, though, as though now they kind of are maybe chomping at the bit to be public representatives of Iran to show that women can do this too?
Actually, I think Football on the Cover can show something which might be new for people here. So I recommend you to watch the movie because, you know, we show in Football on the Cover that the situation of women in Iran is really terrible. It's really, the limitations are so hard. But we also show that the women in Iran are so strong and they keep fighting against this situation. So they didn't accept it. They never accepted, actually, from the beginning of revolution. They never accept, but they had to, you know, present themselves like what the system like, because, you know, the system was a bit wide and a bit tough against them. But they keep going, and every single day they have something new, some good development, some good progress.
We're talking about the film Football Undercover, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I have to ask you about one of the Iranian women who you were following in this film and was instrumental in getting this game going, and then in the end wasn't allowed to play in the game, and it wasn't clear to me why. What exactly happened there?
Exactly, it's not clear. You know, that's the question.
They just didn't let her do it?
Yeah, it's Iran. It's Iran. We always say in Iran, it's Iran. There is no clear reason for her, for us, for no one, and we just keep it as a, you know, we present this story in film to be a metaphor for a situation of women in Iran. When you are independent, when you had an outspoken character, when you want to show strongly that you are different, you would be ignored.
Yeah.
And it's what happened
and
for
me. And she was a very different kind of woman for Iran, because she kind of, like, she dressed as if she was a man.
Yeah, actually, yes. You know, in this aspect, yeah, she is a bit different. But in other respects, I would say she represents the middle class of Tehrani people. So she's a typical... girl from Tehran.
And let me just ask you, Marlena, is this something you would want to do again? Would you want to go back to Tehran and play with the Iranian women again?
Of course. And I'm also planning to go back to Iran.
Oh, you are?
Yes, having the same match over again will not be possible.
Wow. Was this really a life-changing experience for you and the other women on the Berlin team?
Yes, it definitely was. And also we were working on it for 3 years, so it was like it was a very big part of my life.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Marlena.
thank you.
Marlene Osman is co-producer of Football Undercover. She was one of the players from the German team, and she joined us on the line from Berlin. Also joining us today in the studio was Aya Najavi, co-director of Football Undercover. It was so good to talk with you, and good luck with your film.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the invitation.